Today's shir is Daf Yud Gimel. We will begin on Daf Yud Beis, Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. We had learned in the Mishnah, Be'emes Amra Chazan, that the Chazan, we either learned that the Rebbe of the Talmidim or the Gabbai of the Shul can look where the children are reading, even though reading by lamplight, but he himself is not allowed to look and read by lamplight. Asked Gemara, Vamid Resha, at the beginning of the Bryce Mishnah, it says, Roya, that the Chazan is allowed to look where the children are reading. My Lav Likros, isn't that mean that he's allowed to look and read? And then you say that he's not allowed to read. Answers the Gemara, Loy, Vesad the Rosh Pash Yosef. When the Mishnah said that he's allowed to read, it means he's only allowed to read to prepare the beginning of the passages. So the way the Mefarshim explain, especially if we explain that the Chazan is the Gabbai, the Shams of the Shul, that's going to be giving out the Aliyahs, in those times when somebody received an Aliyah in Kriyas HaTorah, it wasn't that just he got an Aliyah, he actually read the Parasha himself. He read his Aliyah himself. Now, not everybody was so proficient in laning. So the Gabbai who stood at the Bima had to be able to help the various people who got Aliyahs lay. And that's why he had to know himself where the Aliyahs began, where the Aliyahs will end, and basically the laning that he could help the various Olam, Latayra. Chenam Rav Shmuel, Av Masadu who Rosh Pesh Yosef, he can begin the beginning of the parashas to help the person who gets Aliyah. And in fact, the Shor Mitzionim brings down that from here we see the importance of laning with the proper tamim, with the proper trop, because even if a person could read the Torah, but he possibly did not have the right trop, it's not preferable. And that's why we had the Shamas be available to help him. In fact, the Ramah brings down that if somebody does not read with the proper trop, Goyarambai, we scream at him, because we have to be very makbid that people should read with the trop. Ask the Gemara, Bechula Parasha Loi, but is the Chazan not allowed to read the entire Parasha? Meisvei, I'll ask you from the following brisa. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Hatanoki Shabbos Rabban Hayim Masadrin Parshas. The school Talmidim would prepare passages and read by lamplight. The Karin Laraner, and they could do this Laraner. So the Gemara is assuming at this point that the Talmidim and the Chazan have the same law. So therefore, just like the Talmidim can read the entire passage by lamplight, so do Talmidim. So Tosfos asks, why does the Gemara need to ask this question from the Braisa? You could have asked the same question from the Mishnah. If we're assuming that the Talmidim and the Rebbe have the same din, and our Mishnah says, we're allowed to look where the Talmidim are reading, so certainly it should be the same thing for the Rebbe. So Tosfos answers that our Mishnah could be understood, that's referring to Talmidim who are reading, although they're not allowed to do so. However, the Braisa, which states children would prepare Hayimisadim, that means it's L'chatchila, the good thing to do, therefore, the Braisa is a better source to ask the question. Ibai Seima, if you wish to say the Braisa is only talking about Rosh Parash Yosef, and therefore, it's Mutter, and like the Sfasemis points out, the heter that we learned yesterday of two people reminding of each other doesn't apply here because everybody had their own book, or perhaps everybody was reading a different parasha. Bibayis Eima, Shani Tanaikas, there's a difference between the children and the Rebbe. Because the Tanaikas, however, Amos Rabbim Aleim, since they are in fear of the teacher, they won't tilt the lamp. And since they won't tilt the lamp, we we allow them to read the whole parasha. But of course, that doesn't apply to the Rebbe. The Yerushalmi says a very nice pshat here. The Yerushalmi says school children are unlikely to tilt the lamp because they want to get out of school. If they tilt the lamp, the light will be better and they'll have to stay in yeshiva longer. So that's why we don't have to worry that they will tilt the lamp. The Shibbol HaLeket applies this heter that the Gemara said that somebody could be Masada Rosh HaPesh Yosef, the Chazan could be Masada the beginning of the Parashias by the light of the lamp and Shabbos. Why? Because it doesn't require much concentration, and that's why we're not concerned that a person will become engrossed and inadvertently tilt the lamp. He applies this heter to saying prayers or tefillahs that are familiar, such as the Haggadah or standard Shabbos davening. If you're davening in a place where you only have an oil lamp, he says you would be allowed to daven, because since we're so familiar with these tefillahs and we're familiar with Haggadah, there's not really a concern that somebody will tilt the lamp. The Rama says that's why it was a minig not to say piyut when Yontif comes out on Shabbos at night, because since people are not familiar with the piyutim, there's a concern that he'll tilt the lamp, and that's why you shouldn't say the piyut. However, the Tosfos HaRosh says that Yom Kippur is an exception. He says that just as school children are permitted to read by the light of a lamp because Amos Rabban Aleim, they're afraid of the teacher, so too people are permitted to read from a Yom Kippur Machzor by the light of a lamp because Amos Yom Kippur Aleim, they're frightened to commit the sin on Yom Kippur. So there's a question from the Brisker Rav. The halacha is that by Yovel, they used to blow the shofar on Yom Kippur. And we don't blow the shofar on Yom Kippur when it comes out on Shabbos, because Gzeir Hashem Yavarena Dal Am Rishus Rabim. He may carry the shofar on Rishus Rabim. As to Brisker Rav, if we just said that a person on Yom Kippur has Amos Yom Kippur Olav, that he's scared of Yom Kippur, so how will he come to make the mistake? So he says, Yom Kippur is considered a shomer. That means like this. We just learned in our Gemara that for using lamplight, there is a heter called a shomer. But that's exclusively used for this issur of lamplight. So Yom Kippur is considered a shomer, and therefore there's no problem using lamplight. But as far as all other halakas, where there wasn't said an exception of a shomer, those gezeiros remain in place, and that's why you can't carry a shofar on Yom Kippur. Continues the Gemara. We learned in our Mishnah, La Yoichel Azov. Azov is not allowed to eat together with Azova, because it could lead to sin. Tanya, Rav Shimon Elazar Oimer. Bar Re'ei, Ahechen Parts and Tara B'Yisrael. Let's see how widespread Klal Yisrael was makbid in the observance of Hilchos Tumah V'Tara. Shloshininu, because we did not learn in a Mishnah, La Yoichel Taira Im Tameya. A Torah person is not allowed to eat together with a Tamei person, since it could lead to sin. Dafka Azov, he's Tamei, and Azov and she's Tamei, Neherga Avail, because it could lead to sin. Why? Since in those times people were Makna Tum Tahara, so a Tardaga person anyway would never eat with a Tamadaga woman, lest his food not become Tamei. It's only in a case where they're both Tamei, and that concern doesn't exist, that's why we were Makbid. Kiyotzboi, Raisa says, La Yoichel Zov Parish, a Zov, who's scrupulous in observing Hilchos Tumah Tahara, is not allowed to eat Im Zov Amoritz, with a Zov who's ignorant. Shem Yagileno Etzloi, because the ignorant Zov can make the scrupulous Zov become frequent each other. Ask the Gemara, v'chimagila etzlem ahave, and what does it make a difference if they'll be together, if they'll have in each other's company? El ema, shem yachilen dvarim tameim. Maybe the Amoritz will give the Zov dvarim tar, the Zov parish dvarim tameim. Ask the Gemara, ot the Zov parish lav dvarim tameim ochel. Anyway, even the Zov parish is allowed to eat davar tameim, because he's tameim anyway. Amabaya, Gzeira, why do we make a gzeira? Shem yachlenu dvarim she'enem sukanim. The Amoritz may give the Parish food that's not been taken off Trumas and Maestris. Rav Amma, Rav says, Rav Amoritz Masrahim. Most Amoritzim do take off Trumas and Maestris from their food. Ella, why are we making Gzeira? Shemi Roglatzloi. We don't want that the Parish to be together with the Amoritz, because we don't want them to be get to use to each other's company, and then we make tarasa. Then when the Zohar is actually tahor, then, and he's not going to eat davar tamei, he'll be already used to eating together, and that's why we want to keep them separate. Now, why did Abaye and Rava say different truths? So, Tosfos Rosh explains that Abaye himself agrees that the majority of Ami Aretz took off Trumas and Maestris. However, Abaye held that it is fitting for a Parish to be concerned about this Ami Aretz might be of the significant minority taking next to do it. And Abaye did not give the explanation that Rava gave, that they may become tar, they may get frequent and be together when he's tar, because he maintains that a scrupulous person would frequent an Amoritz only when both have the status of a Zov and they have something in common that they're both Tamei. However, once the Parish becomes tar, he'll certainly not associate himself with Amoritz, and we don't have to make serious for that reason. So Tosfos asks, if we're saying here that Roiv Amoritz Ma'asrenhein, they do take off Ma'aser, and we don't have to be concerned according to Rava, so why is there a concept of Demai? Demai is that when you buy produce from Amoritz, you have to take off your own Shumas and Ma'aseris. Here we see that Roiv Amoritz Ma'asrenhein. So Tosfos says they were only Makbid Truma Gedoyla. All of them would take off Truma Gedoyla, and Roy would take off Ma'aser. And the reason we were choshed over here for the miut, even though in halach we generally aren't worried about a minority, so Tosha says, because it was a miut to shriach. It was a significant minority. And when we have a significant minority, we do have to be concerned about it. And this is the reason why when somebody's wife is a nida, they, nowadays, that we're not makbid on Hilchos Tuma and Tahara, so a person should not eat at the same table with his wife unless there's a heker, unless they make some sort of a significant sign on the table, that will be a reminder that she is a nida. Other Pesukim want to say that if there are other people at the table besides the husband and wife, there is no need for a heker. Ibailuhu. Ask the Gemara the following shayla. Nidish mashatish nambala. May Nida sleep with a husband. He be bigda, who be bigda. Him in his garment and her, she in her garment. So, as we will see in the Gemara, it was obvious that when she's not a Nida, they used to sleep in the same bed without any clothing. So now the fact that they're sleeping with their clothing, is that enough of a heker, is that enough of a separation or not? Amar Rav Yosef, Toshma. Let's bring a raya from the following Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, Masechta Chulin, Hoif Oilem Agvina Al Shulchan, poultry can be on the same table with cheese, Ben Anechel, but can't be eaten with cheese. Divrei Beis Shammai. That's Beis Shammai says. Beis Hillel Oimrim, the soul says, it can't be put on the same table, and certainly they can't be eaten together. The Tarak Doisha says, you can't cook a kid in its mother's milk. The Torah says this pasuk three times. From this we learn that with the rice it's also to cook meat and milk together, eat milk and meat together, or benefit from such a mixture. That's only when they're cooked together. Midrabbanan, it's also to eat meat and milk together in any fashion. And that's why Chazal went ahead, and they also said that you can't put meat on the same table as dairy items to prevent it from being eaten together. Now, this is only by meat, not from poultry. So question is, but Chazal asked to eat poultry and milk together. The question is, since it's only the Rabbanon, were they so makbid and did they not even allow you to put it on the same table? Beis Shammai says, since it's only the Rabbanon, you're allowed to. And Beis Hillel say, even though it's the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to. The question that the Rishonim ask is if poultry and dairy is only a gzeira of them being cooked together, and even when they're going to be cooked together, it's only a gzeira because with the rice it's not also a poultry, wouldn't this be a gzeira? So they say that this is considered all one long gzeira. In other words, the gzeira of all the gzeira regarding poultry and dairy together, it's not separate gzeiras. First they made a gzeira, don't cook them together. And then they made a gzeira, don't put them on the table together. It was one gzeira, don't put dairy and poultry together in any fashion, whether on a table or in eating. So it's one gzeira, it's not a gzeira. But back to what we said. If we're saying that you can't put dairy and meat and poultry together, you certainly should not have a husband and a wife in the same bed when she's in Nida. The Gemara says it's no proof from there. Shani Hossam, you can't bring a proof from the food, the Lekadeis. There's only one person involved. So since there's one person involved, he may make a mistake and eat it together. Here we have two people, the husband and wife. So they'll watch each other and they'll remind each other not to do the wrong thing, and you can't bring a rye from there. Hachinam Mistabra, and the Gemara brings a proof that this difference is a legitimate difference. The Hechadika Dayishani, when there are more people, makes a difference. The Ktani, safer, because the latter part of that Mishnah teaches us. Shim Gamlil Aimer, Shneach Snoim Oichon Shulchan Echad, two guests can eat at the same table. Zachel Basu Zachel Gvina, this one eats milk and this one eats meat. Ben Choshin, and we're not worried. Why not? Because each one will remind each other. But the Gemara says you can't bring a proof. That proof is not a good proof. Because Lav Et Malo, then we learn regarding that din. Om Rav Chanan Bar Ami Om Shmuel, Lo Shon Ol Shem Akirin Zazeh. They didn't teach that the two guests could eat on the same table because they do not eat only when they do not know each other. So since they don't know each other, we're not concerned that one will take the other one's food. Av Makirin Zazeh, if they know each other, Asurim. Because since they're friendly with each other, they may take from each other's food. So we're back to restart. Anita and her husband are certainly familiar with each other, so they should not be allowed to sleep together even when they're dressed. Answers the Gemara, Hachi Hashtam. Is a comparison valid? Hosom, Deisika. True, there are more than one person. Abishinu Leka. There's no change. Everything is being done in a normal fashion, which will not serve as a reminder. However, in our case, Ikadeis, number one, we're dealing that there's more than one person to remind each other. And Ikashinui. It's also being done differently than normal. And since it's being different than normal, that may be a reminder they shouldn't do sin. Ikad Amri. The Gemara has a different version how we answer the first question. Toshma. We go back to the beginning. Toshma. Rishim Gamliel Aimer. Right away to this thing. Of Shneich Snoim Marachlan Shulchan Echa. Two guests could eat at the same table. Zeh Bas V'zeh Gvino. This one meat and this one dairy. Bit Malo. And we learned regarding this thing. Om Rav Chanan Barami Om Shmu. Loi Shana Loshay Mekirin Zeh Zeh. This was only when they don't know each other. Av Makirin Zeh Zeh. If they know each other, also. The Hani Nami and the husband and the wife, when she's a nida, Mikirin says that they know each other, and therefore we should prohibit them from sleeping together. Gemara says you can't bring a proof from there. Hasam teyasika that taka more than one person that can remind each other. However, shinu leka, there's no deviation that will add to the reminding them. Hacha, but in the husband and wife, ikadeis and Vikishuna, we have more than one person, and we also have a deviation, so maybe different. So right now we don't yet have an answer to our Shaila. What is the halacha when someone's wife is a nida, may they sleep in the same bed, provided that they remain dressed? Tashma. It's said in our Mishnah. Vayachal azav and avzava. Azav is not allowed to eat with azava. Mishum hergla veira. So if they're not allowed to eat together, certainly they're not allowed to sleep together. So we seemingly have a proof from our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Hachinami, you can't bring a proof from our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah, they is Ika, they attack two people, but Shinileka, there's nothing reminding them to prevent them from doing an Aveira. Since there's nothing reminding them to stop them from doing an Aveira, that's why we can't bring a proof from our Mishnah. It's a different case, you can't bring a proof. Tashma, so Mar brings another proof. The Pasuk says, Elohorim, Elohorim Loyochal. Pasuk in Cheskel, and the Pasuk says, the Pasuk is talking about a tzaddik. He says, upon the mountains he didn't eat. What does it mean, upon the mountains he didn't eat? Means, Horim refers to the Ovis. So Rashi explains, he did not have to rely on Schus Ovis. Vein of Loynosa Al-Gulu Beis Yisrael, his eyes he did not lift to the idols of Klai Yisrael, this Eishas Re'eu Leitimei, and he did not defile his neighbor's wife, though Isha Nida Leyikrav, and he did not approach his wife when she was a Nida. So says the Gemara, Mak Eishas Nida Leishas Re'eu. The Pasuk compares his wife when she's a Nida, just like to his friend's wife. Ma Eishas Re'eu. If you were dealing with a friend's wife, who the big dog, he the big dog, certainly, even if they're dressed, they would certainly not be allowed to be in the same bed. Afish the Nida, similarly, somebody's wife is a Nida, who the big dog, he the big dog, even when they're both dressed, they should not be in the same bed. Shema mino, it's also. And Tosfos points out that if we could compare this two situations, then even Yichud, being left in seclusion, should be usur between a husband and a wife when she's a nida. However, the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin says that yichud with somebody's wife is permitted when she's a nida, because it's pas pasaloi. Since ultimately they will be allowed to remain, they will be able to have relations, that's why they will not find it that difficult to refrain from sin, and that's why they could have yichud. But that's why the leniency pertaining to a nida applies only to a couple who have already had marital relations. A newly married couple cannot remain biyichud when the wife is a nida, because in that situation the temptation to sin is too great. Interesting shaila that Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan talks about is what happens if a couple is unfortunately getting divorced, and the husband has to put the get into the wife's hand, and the wife is a nida. Now they're getting divorced, so you don't have the normal situation of a husband and his wife is a nida. May he put the get into the wife's hand? So Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan says two svaras why he may. Number one, the entire procedure of giving a get is a procedure of separating each other. So since the entire procedure is a procedure of separating each other, we don't have to be concerned that they'll get close. Another reason why he's makel is that since a get is always given in public, because we always have to have edim, the gzeira of not coming close to a wife who's a nida was not set in such a circumstance. In other words, explains like this. The things that a person is not allowed to do with his wife's nida, the archokis, don't make a difference when it's berabim or beyichidis. Once Chazal said it's osur, it's always osur. But a situation that is never possible to be beyichidis, on such a situation, Chazal never gave a gzeir that they have to be machik. Since a get by definition will always be done by rabbin, so Chazal didn't make a gzeir that they have to separate and not put something into her hand when she's a nida. And he uses the same svara, what happens if there's a chuppah and the kal is a nida? made the chassan put the ring on the kallah's finger. He says, since a chuppah is always by definition done by rabbim, you need edim, you need a minyan, so on such a situation, the gzeirah of achaka was never said. However, the Gemara says, "Upligid Rapidos," what we just learned disagrees with what Rapidos said. Dom Rapidos, Lasa Tyra, the Tyra only acid, Ella Kurvish or Gila Rais Bovad, only cohabitation. Shinamar, Ish El Kol Shay Basar Le Sikravu, Legalis Erva. A person should not approach any close relative to uncover their nakedness. So Rapidos holds that the biblical Isser only refers to Tashmish. Anything else is Usser Midrabanan, and therefore if the couple are wearing clothing, he holds there's no reason to make an Isser Midrabanan. And according to Rapidas, according to a Rashi learns, a couple, even when she's a Nida, would be allowed to be in one bed if they're wearing clothing. Tosfos has a very different understanding of the Gemara, and even Rapidos would agree in such circumstances it's also, which is the halacha. Says the Gemara, Ula kava asmi bei Rav, when Ula will return from yeshiva, have a menashkle lachasve bei chedra, he would kiss his sisters on their bosoms. Vamalei, another say, he would kiss them on their hands. However, the Gemara says, "Pligi the day adi day." Ula is really contradicting himself. The Amar Ula, afilu shum kurva asar. Any sort of closeness is prohibited between a man and a woman. That's also to him. Shenemar, because we say lech am nazira, we tell a nazir go away, schar go round and around, lekam lesikrav. A nazir is a person who took a neder that is not of naziris, which prohibits him from drinking wine or any other product of a vineyard, and midarabanan. The halach is that he shouldn't even come close to a vineyard, even walk into a vineyard. Why? Just to stay away. The same thing here, a person should not come close to anybody that he's not allowed to have relations with, just to stay away. Tosfos resolves the contradiction in Ula's behavior, and he says Ula was confident that since he was a person of pure character, he would not be led to improper thoughts through kissing his sisters. However, he tells other people who have not reached this level that he should not do that. The Satmar Rebbe says a very nice word. He says, why do we use the Nazir as the model of the person who you're not allowed to come close, who we should stay away from anything, not to come close to doing an Aveira? So he says very nice. He says, a Nazir is the model of a person who's a Parish, who's separating himself. He's allowed to drink wine. Everybody's allowed to drink wine. Everybody's allowed to eat grapes. And he separated himself. And even though he's a person of a high medrega, we still tell him you have to watch yourself. So certainly everybody else who's not yet attained that high medrega has an obligation to watch himself. And Ramesh Ataka talks about the issue of kissing relatives. And he says certainly a person's allowed to kiss his mother. He's allowed to kiss his daughter. He's allowed to kiss his granddaughter that he has from his daughter. That means his daughter's daughters. His son's daughters, Ramosha, is not clear, but he says Minik Ha'olam is that you're allowed to kiss, that people do kiss their son's daughters, but any other relatives should not be done. Says the Gemara story. Tana de Be'el Yo. Masav Talmud Echad. There was a story we want Talmud Shoshana Harbei. He learned much. He learned a lot of Talmud. He learned a lot of Gemara. And he died at half his age. She died at a very young age. His wife would take his tefillin. She would take him to the yeshivas and to the shuls. they would say like this, Kisiba Torah, it says in the Torah, Ki hu chayecha varuch imecha, this is your life and the length of your days. Bali, my husband, Shishana Harbeta, learned a lot of Torah Shabbat, learned the Torah Shabbat Peh, Bekar Harbe, learned the Torah Shabbat Ksav, Beshimish Tamid Chacham Harbe, and he learned Talmud, the name Meis Bechatzi Yomav. Why did he die when he was so young? There was nobody able to answer anything. Why did she carry the tefillin? So one pshat is because the three things that he did, that he learned Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud, are all mentioned in the tefillin. Because it says, since it says Vishinantam, since it says, it says Mikra, and it says Vishinantam, which is Mishnah, and it says Lamadatam, which is Talmud, so the tefillin is what tells a person to do what you're supposed to do, so that's why she's specifically tefillin. Another shot that I saw is like this. What did tefillin represent? Tefillin represent something that is close to the person. He ties the tefillin, he connects it to his body. She was saying that not only did my husband learn, but my husband had a relationship to the Torah like tefillin. He was tied to the Torah. He was extremely close to the Torah. And yet, so, if he's so close to the Torah, and the Torah is Kiyu Chayecha V'Aruch Yamecha, why did he die? So the Gemara continues. Pamachas Nachrachti Atzla. Why did I visit her? And she told me again the whole story. So I asked her, Biti, my daughter, how did your husband act with you when you were in Nida? Armerly, so she said to me, Chas v'shalom, afila be'etz b'ktana lo nogabi. He didn't come close to me in the small, with a little finger. What about the days when you were wearing white clothing? Because midaraisa, a woman's life is a cycle of 7 or 11 days. During the 7 days, she could become a nida. Midaraisa, a woman who becomes a nida, just after that, as soon as she becomes clean, she has to wait 7 days, but as soon as she's clean after the 7 days, she could go to the mikvah. During the 11 days, a woman could become a zava, and once she becomes a zava, she needs 7 clean days, and then she could go to the mikvah. Those 7 clean days are known as the Mei Libun. So you want to know, B'mei Levunach Ma Etzlech, how did he act with you when you were in the days when you were counting Zaynikim? She said, Ochlami, V'shosimi, we ate together and we slept together, V'yoshimi V'kirbasa, and we slept without clothing, also data davacha, but he did not think about cohabitation. But they did sleep without clothing. For Matila, so I said to Baruch Hamakom Shaharga, Baruch Hashem, that Hashem killed you, killed him. Shlei nos upon him l'tayra, because your husband didn't show the proper respect towards the Torah. Shrei Amr Torah, the Torah says about Eishes Benidus and Tumas Leisikrav. But the Torah says when a woman is in a time of unclean days, he has to stay away totally. And that's why, since he didn't, that's why he came to this mistake. Kasur of Dimi Omar, what was the mistake that he made? He didn't learn Pshat in the Pasuk properly. Another Pshat is, Baruch HaMokim, the Sfasem says, Shalai Nosem Panam LaTorah, that even though this person had Torah, even though this Talmud had Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't look at that Torah, and he did what he had to do. Kiyosa Ravdimi Amar, when Ravdimi came, he said, Mitechad Havoi, it was only a matter of sleeping on the same bed, which the Talmud thought was Mutter. But Maravi Amar, Maravi said, Amar Yitzhak by Yosef, Sinner Mafsik Beinah LeBeinah. She wore knickers that were between them. But still, it was not considered enough of a separation, and he thought sleeping in the same bed, even in such manner, was permitted, which of course it isn't. Now, Tosfos asks a very fundamental question. He wants to know, how could a person who just saw a Chesed Big Talmud Chacham, who learned Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara, make such a fundamental mistake. It's highly unlikely that he wouldn't know of the law that a Zava has to count Zayin Nekiyim, and then only she could become mutter to her husband. So that's why they explain that the Gemara is not talking about a Zava who has to count Zayin Nekiyim Midaraisa. They're talking about our women who Midaraisa, as we said before, a woman after she's a Nida could go to the mikveh immediately as soon as she becomes clean. But Rabbanan said that Midrabbanan, we're makbid that even by a Nida we wait Zayin Nekiyim. And that was a mistake that this person made. He says Tosfos that she went to the mikveh immediately as soon as she was clean after she was a Nida. And instead of waiting the 7 days and then going to the mikveh and then only coming close, he saw that since Midaraisa she's anyway permitted, that a lot of stay in the same bed. And that was the mistake he made, but it wasn't a situation of Midaraisa. The Mefarshim say a very interesting word. They say Eliyahu was trying to figure out what caused this Talmud to die. So he asked his wife, how did he act with you when you were a Nida, when you were a Zava, when you were Zayin Nekiyim? Why from all Taryag mitzvahs did he pick Dafka this mitzvah, this issue to ask her? So the Mefarshim say there was something very interesting. Usually a husband, what does he learn? He learns in yeshiva, he learns in shul. This wife was so familiar with her husband's learning habits. How did she know everything he was learning? It must be that he was at home a lot. Since he was home so much, we are concerned that they might have taka been together when they're not supposed to be together, and that's taka why Elio started to investigate what happened. Continues the Gemara. Ve'elim alochis she'amru ba'liyas Chananya ben Chizki ben Goyren. These are the laws that were said in the upper chamber of Chananya ben Chizki ben Goyren. Shaul Levakru, they came up to visit him when he was. What happened was, Chananya, as we learned in the Gemara, isolated himself in the attic to write a pirush on Yecheskel, and on one occasion a large contingent of Tamidim of Shammai and Hillel came to visit him, and that's when they started to talk about various laws. And at that time, Virova Beishamai Beis Hillel, Beishamai outnumbered Beis Hillel, Rishmona Esredava Gazer by Beyoim, and they enacted 18 takonos on that day, which we'll spend the next couple of blocks talking about. Begins the Gemara. Omlai Abayel Rav Yosef, Sabai said to Rav Yosef, Elu Tanan, is Pshat Elu, these are the laws, or is the right Girsa Mishnah Ve'ela, and these are the laws. So like Tosfos explains, wherever it says ve'ela, it's moisav rishonim, we're including the first. Ela, when it just says ela, it's pasul rishonim, it doesn't include the first. So what the question of the Gemara is these laws that we learned previously, like Shemayata, are they included in the Yud Ches Tavar or not? Ve'elu Tanan, is the right girsa with a vav, and including Hani Damaran, the halachas that we learned previously in the previous Mishnah, or Eilu Tanan, or does it say without a vav, and the Minan L'mayim will come on, the ones that we're going to say in the coming Mishnayos, but not what we learned before. Tashma, so the Gemara brings an answer from Braisa. It says, Ein poin l'alaner, you're not allowed to take off lice, you're not allowed to check for lice by the light of the lamp, then karnal are in there, and you're not allowed to read by the light of a lamp. The elum and alochas and the brayse says beferus. These are from the alochas. Shomer baliyas Chananya ben Goyren, Mechizkin ben Goyren. Shma mina. We see beferus ve'elu tanan that the right gifts in the Mishnah is ve'elu, that the previous alochas are from the Yud Ches Tavar. Shma mina. Tana Rabbanan, mikos of Megillas Tanis. Who wrote the Megillas Tanis? This was a scroll which was compiled towards the end of the time of the Beis Hamikdash Sheni. It lists dates of the year on which fasting is prohibited, because these days were declared minor festivals on account of miraculous nisim that occur on these days. Why was it called a Megillah? Because in those days, Rashi explains, it was also to write Torah Shemapeh. It only became later, out Eis Lasu L'Hashem, Afer Torah Secho, that they wrote Torah Shemapeh. Since that time, they weren't writing Torah Shemapeh, they only wrote it on Sod scroll. So Gemara wants to know who wrote this. Nikos Megillas Tanis, who wrote it? Omer Chananya ben Chizkiah B'Setiah. Chananya ben Chizkiah and his colleagues, who lived about 100 years before the Churban Beis Sheni, Shemechavim Satsaris. They cherished troubles. They didn't cherish the trouble, the Mepharshim explained. They cherished the trouble because, as the Mepharshim explained, trouble leads to Nisim, and they realized that even the troubles that happened to Klal Yisrael are for a positive purpose. And that's why they even appreciated the troubles, and they made this to remember the Nisim. Amma Rashim Gamliel. So Rashi says, "Af anu mechavim satzaris." We also appreciate the nisim that Hashem does for us. Avaman nasa, what should we do? Shimbana lichsoiv. If we're going to write down all the dates that we're safe from tzaris, enu mespikim. We could never manage. We'd have a yontif every day. Davar acha, another reason why we do not write down the days we were saved. En shaita nivka. A foolish person doesn't get attacked. That means we're so overwhelmed that we don't even realize anymore our tzaris and our nisim. Davar acher, another reason, ein besar hames, the body of a dead person, margish be'ezmel, doesn't feel the pain of a scalpel. So again, we've had so much, since he's dead, he already has all the tzaris that he could have. Similarly, we have so much tzaris, we don't feel it anymore. And he asked that Gemara, is this true? V'amar Yitzchak, kosherim l'mes. Worms are painful to a dead k'machad, just like pins are b'basar chai, in the flesh of a living. Shinemar, as his pasuk says, ach besara olav yichav, his flesh will be plained, v'nafsho olav tavel, and his soul will mourn. So you see, they does feel. And so the Gemara, ain basar shebechai, the flesh, dead flesh of a living person doesn't feel a scalpel. But dead people do feel things. And this is one of the reasons why Chazal and Rabbanan were so makpid against autopsies. Because the dead person does feel the nivel that happens to them. Says the Gemara regarding Rav Chananya. Om Rav Chananya, Om Rav. Baram Zocha Ish L'toiv. This person should be remembered very favorably. Who is this person? Chananya ben Chizkiah Shemoi. Shemoi who? If not for him, Nigna Seif Yecheskel. The Seif Yecheskel would have been put away. Shehoi Dvarav Sois in the Retira. Because the words in Sefer Torah, the Psukim, seem to contradict what it says in the Torah. Ma'asa. So what did Chananya do? Hello, Shlosh Meis Gar B'Shemen. He brought up 300 barrels of oil. The Farshim say it's an exaggeration to seclude himself, and he should have enough oil for lamp, for light. But Yoshev Eliyah, and he sat in the attic. The Darshan, and he dashed all the psukim to reconcile them with the Torah. And Rashi gives us one example. The pasuk says in Yecheskel, Nevel of a treifa, and a nevel or a treifa, lo yoichlo a kahanim. Kahanim may not eat it. Which seems to indicate that Yisraelim may eat it. Which we know, of course, the Torah says that nobody is allowed to eat in the veil of Treifa. So how did Yecheskel reconcile this? So the way he reconciled it was that, of course, everybody, all Jews, are prohibited from eating the veil of Treifa. But there is one time where a Kohen eats something which seems to be an Avela. The halacha is that a bird that's brought for a carbon is not killed with shechita, it's killed with malika. Malika is that the kohen slits the back of the neck of the bird with his fingernail. Now that is certainly not a kosher shechita. So but the Torah allows it, permits it, not only permits it, that's the way it's supposed to be done when bringing a bird carbon. And the Kohen then eats from the Chatas, Ha'oif. So since the Torah allows, in one case, for Kain to eat something which is normally in the Vela. They might make a mistake and think they're always allowed to eat the Velas. That's why Yecheskel went out of the way and said that no, Kohanim are not allowed to eat the Velas, and that is only, Echatas Oif is only an exception. And that's one of the examples how Yecheskel reconciled, how Hananya reconciled what it says in Yecheskel and what it says in our Torah.